others. It was good for our mothers, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Tis that old time religion. Tis that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It has saved our fathers. It has saved our fathers. It has saved our fathers. And it's good enough for me. Tis that old time religion. Tis that old time religion. Tis that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Tis that old time religion. Tis that old time religion. Tis that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will do when I'm dying. It will do when I'm dying. It will do when I'm dying. And it's good enough for me. Tis that old time religion. Tis that old time religion. Tis that old time religion. It's good enough for me. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. Have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles, hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will turn in, know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my past seems dim without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. Midst of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles, hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will turn in, know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles, hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will turn in, know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, things have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. So glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Well, all righty then, you guys. guys. Welcome back tonight. We're going to have us a good night. We've got our missionary friend with us, our friends, his whole family. We're looking forward to hearing from Brother Shane, and we got to spend lunch with these guys and had a really good time. And I'll tell you about Colton. He's 12, right? Colton's about to be a teenager, and he and Sutton got together. You know Sutton's a storyteller, right? Well, Sutton's met his match here. Old Colton now, he can tell some stories. He's pretty animated and good stories too. And so they've got some friends with them from Lubbock, and we're glad. And we're really going to have a good time and learn a little bit more about Mercy, our Man of World, right? Worldwide and their mission field. And with that being said, let me encourage you guys to pray in the morning. Kelly Zimmerman, this is a couple that's been sitting over here for the last couple of months learning on Sunday morning visiting our church. He's going to be having stents put in the morning early. I'll be up there with him, but his name is Kelly Zimmerman. Okay, keep him in prayer and pray for rain, guys. We really need some moisture. God knows we need it, but we want to let him know that we are dependent upon him and cry out to him for the rain across our land, okay? And when it comes, every drop of it, be sure and give thanks for it, okay? And if we ask for it, we ought to give thanks for it. So anyway, we're glad to have you back. Gonna go to the Lord in a word of prayer in just a few moments, have a few more songs, and then we'll get right to Brother Shane, okay? Brother Ike, will you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Amen. Thank you. May be seated.
I had nothing but heartaches and trouble. I was seeking for fortune in vain. I had nothing but doubts and
the time to hear a tone.
inside to see the way we need. He'll always say, I forgive. He can grant a wish or make a dream come true. He can paint the clouds and turn the gray to blue. He alone knows where to find the rainbow's end. He alone can see what lies beyond the bend. He can touch a tree and turn the leaves to gold. He knows every lie that you and I have told. Though it makes him sad to see the way we live, he'll always say,
let me remind you of what's going on this next weekend. We're going to be leaving out of here on Friday to go to the Ironman Conference. We'll leave out at 9 o'clock, fellas. So if you could be here just a few minutes early, we'll be pulling out of here. We're going to stop and eat lunch at Strawn like we have been doing in years past. It's a great place to go eat there at Mary's. And then we'll go on to the Metroplex and enjoy a lot of good preaching, a lot of good music and fellowship. It's going to be a good time. And so I hope everybody's geared up and ready to go for that. Then Sunday night of next week, we're going to be having our youth auction back in the summer hall at 6 o'clock. We won't be having services here. We'll be having 6 o'clock service back there, auctioning off those items, raising money for youth camp. And it's always a big deal each year. You guys always come through. So I hope that you'll plan on being there. I hope you'll come prepared to bid if possible, but we don't want anybody that's not financially able to be bidding on things to be doing so. But we do want you present, okay? Your presence is support enough, okay? If you can spend a little money and help raise some money, then that's good too. You can bring items. We encourage you to limit it to one item to be auctioned off, something that you bake, fabricate, make, whatever, something along those lines that we'll raise enough money. I promise you. We do it every year, okay? And then outside of that, the ladies are coming up. They're going to be having their women's conference down in the Metroplex on April the 25th and 26th. There's sign-ups for that back there. When you sign up, if you have a preference for who you're going to room with, just write that outside your name in parentheses, okay, who you would prefer to room with. Otherwise, we'll try to just kind of make good judgment and teaming people up. But it's going to be a good time as well. Ladies do things a little bit different. They don't have a Friday night. It's all Saturday morning, but we'll be bringing details about that very soon. Okay, with that being said, I want to ask Brother Shane to come. And again, we appreciate his lesson this morning during the Sunday school hour, and he's really pulled together. I told him at lunch today, and I wasn't just saying it. It's always impressive when a missionary shows up and you can see the vision, you can see the plan, you can see what's been done already. He's got his business together, and I appreciate that so very much.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Well, I want to say thank you so much for the invite and the kindness that you've shown to our family. We greatly appreciate that. Brother, do we have the video? I meant to show that this morning. Can we show that now? And that'll kind of help tie everything together about what MANA does and our goals. And we really want to be able to be a blessing to you. We want to be able to allow you to expand your worldview. And I tell you, if you take a trip overseas and you see those kids, and you let those kids who probably never get a hug in the morning or get loved on that much, and you get to love on those kids, you get to see and be the hands and feet of Jesus. I was telling Pastor about a Mayan village that we have there. The lice is so bad that we constantly have to be washing the kids' hair. And these kids, that's just what they live with. They just, it's just part of everyday life. Some of the kids that come to our center, they are about 12 years old when they get pulled out of school, and dad pulls them out and begins to have them basically pull weeds in the fields is what happens. And that's all they know. And so then they grow up, they have a family, and they just continue that cycle. And so we want to help them. In that same Mayan village, we have a trade school. And the truck, we brought a truck in. The kids went through the whole truck, from paint to bodywork to electrical to mechanical, all the things that I don't really understand, but they do. And it's a truck that looked like a piece of junk from the junkyard, and they made it look like a truck that I'd want to drive around in America today. And so we're trying to teach these boys some skills. There's another, we call it a boys' village, but it's a village home. And some of these boys are learning things like, one boy learns from planting the coffee bean in the ground to your cup of coffee. He learns that whole entire process. So not only are we helping pastors, we're helping kids learn how to generate some income so that they will be able to provide for their family. So are we ready with the video? Let's go ahead and show the video.
Thinking back to when you were a kid, what are the memories that come to mind first? Is it waking up to the sound of breakfast being made in the kitchen? The smell of fresh bacon on the stove? The sweet taste of your favorite cereal? Or maybe it's simply that feeling of being hugged by someone you love before leaving for school? While you can connect with some of these things, for the children we serve, all of these memories are nothing but a fantasy. But it doesn't have to be this way. Here at Manna Worldwide, we want to give you the opportunity to share the gospel in a way that transforms people spiritually and physically for a lifetime. Manna started with the simple idea that by serving people in the way that Christ did, we can build trust and relationships to share the truth of His word much more effectively. Needs are different for every child, which is why projects look different in communities all over the world. We work with churches and individuals like you to battle the global giants of hunger, disease, homelessness, and spiritual emptiness. We do this by starting churches, nutrition centers, medical clinics, family homes, orphanages, clean water wells, youth camps, and schools. The beautiful thing about partnering with us is that we bring your church together with local churches and missionaries overseas. Every Manna project is connected to a local church or missionary so that we can come alongside to help reach their communities. We want to help the church fulfill its mission to bring the gospel into all nations, and we do that by rescuing children from the grip of poverty. We're Manna Worldwide, and we would love to help you make your eternal impact in the world today.
So that's Manna, and I would love to answer any questions that you have. And prayerfully, maybe we can take a trip together someday, and I would look forward to that. Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles this evening to Acts chapter 4. Like, man, you're an Acts guy. I love Acts. I love seeing the gospel go forth. Right? Another thing, I shared a lot of details about me. I love planning. I love thinking through things as well. How many else of you are thinkers? You just love thinking about things, right? If I could be in the mountains with a cup of coffee and just sitting there, that's my ideal spot, right? Just sitting there thinking about, oftentimes it's in the car when you're driving down the road. Maybe it's just going to work. You're thinking about 100 different things, right? And it's really bad because if I don't get those thoughts on my list, then I'm in big trouble, right? And so I love doing that. Did you know that life is experienced through our own perspective, right? Our own thought life. You say, how does that play out? Well, Kristen and I, shortly after we were married, we were trying to put a can opener underneath our cabinets. And she had her way of accomplishing the same thing. I had my way of accomplishing things. And you can imagine how that turned out, right? But our life is experienced through those ways, isn't it? It's just our mindset, the way that we think it should be done is the way that it should be done, right? It's just what's part of us. It infects so many aspects of our lives. Studies have indicated that our mindsets greatly influence the results we achieve in life, the thoughts we think. By recognizing, adjusting, and transforming our mindset, you can enhance your well-being, reduce stress, and build greater resilience in the face of life's obstacles. According to a Stanford study, they found this: mindsets can be helpful for distilling information and managing expectations. They can also be maladaptive. They can lead to interpersonal problems, feelings of guilt, inadequacy, sadness, and anxiety. The professor who studied this, Dr. Towery, observed that it's common to hold on to mindsets that were adaptive at one point in life, but because of situations in our lives at one point or another, they've become maladaptive. For an example, you might have been it helpful to believe that others cannot be trusted if you were betrayed at a young age, but this belief may lead to interpersonal issues later in life. And so our mindset, how many have ever heard of a fixed or a growth mindset, right? There's a book out there that one pastor was telling me about this, but I just kind of briefly looked at this. But a Stanford professor came up with this and was a way to describe our ability to change or grow or develop over time, right? It's either this is the way it's going to be done, or maybe there is another way to install a can opener, right? That being adaptive, right? Our mindsets can also affect the way we see missions, right? We can see missions through our own lens and not be open to what the Bible says, or maybe what the Lord is pressing on our hearts to give more to missions or be more personally involved in missions, right? We could have the mindset that $5 or $10 for missions is enough for me. And I had that mindset, right? Brother, do you do Faith Promise? Similar? Yeah, so we did Faith Promise in our church growing up, and I remember as a young kid marking 25 cents and thinking, I'm going to give that, and then next year it was $1, and then I always asked the Lord to allow me to grow that amount, you know, and as a teenager I thought, I don't know where $1 is going to come from, maybe mom, dad, I don't know, but I trusted that the Lord was going to give it to me because I wanted to be personally involved in missions. It's true that our minds, we might not be called to go to a specific country and serve the Lord there, but we can still have a missions mindset. You may not walk out of here this evening after spending time here with us and say, I'm going to go be a missionary, right? There are people who God uses to do that, but as we learned this morning, we talked about this morning, you are a missionary right where you're at, right? Sharing the gospel, taking it. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. And I want to help us be in this missions mindset. How can we as a believer develop a better mindset when it comes to this? Acts chapter 4, verses 31 to 37. That's where we'll start this evening. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And a multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the pieces of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joses by the apostles, who was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I read this passage and you're like, what? Where is he going to go with this, right? How is this a missions thing? Well, I've been thinking about this. What we talked about the burning heart desire of Paul, right? And his heart desire for the gospel to go out. What about the new church? What about this church that's here, that's starting, and they're excited about what? What are they excited about? Remember, church, you can talk back to me, okay? So, what were they excited about? New church, new beginnings, the gospel's going forth. What are they excited about? The gospel going forth, right? Going out, reaching people. They wanted to make sure that whatever the cost was, they backed the apostles, didn't they? Right? That's kind of the mindset of what's going on here. Could you imagine being a part of this first century church? I mean, things are happening, right? Have you ever been around something that is exciting and it's like, man, what's going on over there? And you go check it out and you're like, oh, that's pretty exciting. And you get excited, right? It kind of juice is the only word that comes to mind right now. But I mean, it kind of pumps you up, doesn't it, right? Right? It gets you excited. And they're excited about God's love for a needy world. They're excited about this, right? After Pentecost, it's in full bloom. Could you imagine the mindset of these individuals? They are unified. They're brought together. They were headed in the same direction. They were of the same mindset. Previous to the verses that we were, what were they praying for? Right there in verse 37, what were they praying for? They were praying for boldness. Why would you need boldness? Why would you pray for boldness if you're not excited about something? Amen. Right? Yeah. Give me boldness. Give me opportunity. Allow me to speak this truth. Right? Let it go forth. And with a mindset, we can learn from this passage in verse 32 that missions-minded believer is united with God's gospel plan. Yeah. We talked about this desire of Paul. Our mind is a very powerful thing, but so is our hearts. Look at verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one what? And one? Oh, man. They're together, aren't they? They're united. They're pushing forward. They were unified in their heart and their soul. Did you know that according to the American Heart Association, they wrote an article and it stated this: there's now a growing body of data that the mind and the body can negatively and positively impact cardiovascular health. And the time has come for us as doctors to take heed to the interconnected, interdependent being of the heart and body with the mind, a relationship that can be termed the mind-heart-body connection. We could have saved them so much research, couldn't we have? You think that's by mistake? Not at all. This mindset, their heart desire, was to get the gospel out. Jesus compares the state of a person's heart to what? The condition of a field, doesn't he? The condition of the soil. Proverbs 4:23 says that above all else, what should we guard? Our hearts. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What about the helmet of salvation? What does that protect? Our mind. What does God want us to protect? Our heart and our mind. Because it affects our health. It affects our ability to get the gospel out, doesn't it? Matthew 6 talks about storing up treasures in heaven. Look at verse 21. We read it this morning. But for where your treasure is, finish it with me, there will your heart be also. What is the heart of God? If we be holy, what else? That's right. What else is at the heart of God? Missions? Well, let me break it this way. Jesus came When he came to do what? Reconcile people to what? Himself, right? That's mission number one. Mission number two, right before Jesus leaves, he tells them, peace be unto you as my Father has sent me. What? So send I you. That's the second purpose. It's reconciling to people and then getting the gospel out so that the number one can happen again. And then number two can happen, and number one can happen again. That's at the heart of Jesus. This was the heart of these people here. Very clearly, our minds should be, okay, let's go. The early church was unified. They wanted people of every nation to come to know Christ. This is God's heart for those that are dying in this world. Your neighbor, your coworker who does not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Now go back with me, and I want you to catch this, because I think this helps us even see his heart for the nations even more. If you look back at Acts chapter 2, verse 5, it says this, "And they were there dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven." This early church was filled with just Jews, right? Or tribes of every nation. God's heart has always been to reach the world, to reconcile the world back to Him. God's plan has always been to include the world. We have to ask ourselves, are we united with this plan of God? I, me. The church wants you to be. God wants you to be. The question is, are you? John 17:21, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." The world. Not just America, not just Haiti, not just the Middle East, not just Israel, the world. It is and has been the desire of God for us to be unified in advancing the gospel. That's our mission. That's our desire. And number two is our mission-minded believer is caring and is generous. I have a question for you. What if Pastor Chris came up here and said, "I want you to go home next week, and I want you to make an inventory of everything that you have in your house, and we're going to sell it all. We're going to sell it all, and we're going to do missions like we've never done missions before." How many of you would be like, "Preacher, you're crazy," right? I know that we're all spiritual people in here, but there'd be someone, and I would probably be the someone, that'd be like, "You don't know what I got. I don't know that I could pass that on," right? But look back at verse 32 with me. "Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own." That hit me like a ton of bricks. They're people oriented. What's mine is yours. What we have is already God's. We are good. We are to be good what? Stewards. Stewards means it's not ours. We're just managing it, right? You know, I love giving other people stuff away, don't you? It's easy, right? You give a kid $50, is it coming back to you? No, all of you just shook your head. Absolutely not, right? It's gone. Why is it so easy to give away other people's stuff? Give away money that's not yours. Listen, we have to remember that the stuff that we own is not ours. It's God's. And there wasn't a single person who said, "I'm not giving that crock pot away." Right? There wasn't a single person who said, "Oh, you don't understand, that 57 Chevy, there's no way I'm giving that away." Right? they knew everything was God. It was already given to them to steward by God, to enjoy by God, but it wasn't their own. The mindset of every believer in the early church was to do whatever it took to get the gospel out. Oh, man. Whatever it took. What a powerful testimony. Do you realize this is the financial mindset of people who run for office or run for, try to get a particular sports player? Whatever it costs, I'm going to win. Whatever it costs, I'm going to get that player. Whatever it costs, and you can probably put that in any arena, and that's probably a mindset of some individual somewhere. You say, get off that, missionary. You're making me uncomfortable. We spend money like it's ours. I'm guilty of this too. I heard a pastor say this one time, and it rocked my world. He said this, not giving your tithe or to missions won't send you to hell, but it might someone else. Ouch. I was blown away. That came out of a preacher's mouth. Can you believe that? In front of his congregation. But it's true. It's true. When I give, I'm impacting people. I'm giving to missions. I'm impacting people. They were touched with others' hurts, and they gladly sacrificed time and comfort for those who are in need. They understood. This missions-minded believer is powerful. Look at verse 33. And with great power they gave apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord. The word power here, we might read that and think, oh, like, you know, power, like somebody who's in charge, right? But this power word actually means that they had an effect on men's minds. In our common vernacular, we would say, mind blown, right? Think about this for a second with me. Could you imagine watching a church come forth and give everything they had? If your neighbor's house went up on the market and you saw 10 different homes and you knew they were connected to another church in town, you'd be like, what's going on, right? We're wondering what's going on. It was a powerful statement. It was a mind-blowing effect that they were all in this together. They're all in the fact that, hey, we need to get the gospel. Let me ask you this question. If one individual walked out this door and starts walking around the streets, you think very many people would notice? Not really, right? What if I joined them and we began walking around the city? Probably maybe a handful of people might notice. But what if we as a church walked out of here and we all started walking around the city? People are like, what's going on? What is happening? That's the kind of power that's being talked about here. Let me ask you this. Are you unified with the purpose of this church to get the gospel out to your town, to your state, to your country, and countries beyond? I know that's Pastor Chris's heart. Are we unified with that? Are we behind that? God never intended for one man or a few men to carry the weight of the church. The weight of getting the gospel out falls on every single one of us. It's a team effort. That's what's happening here. They got a hold of this vision. They got a hold of what was going on here. Are you motivating others? Or do you say, oh, that's their job? Number four, a missions-minded believer is inspiring. Look at verse 36. And Joses, by the apostle's name, surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, of the country of Cyprus. Do you know who this is? This is Barnabas who went around with Paul. Look, this early church and their desire to see the gospel go forth had such an impact that a man from another country was excited about it. And got on board and wanted to sell everything that he had because he was excited about what was going on. He wanted to be in on this same mission. How powerful is that? There's a lot of things we can do as believers which inspires other people. You talked about it this morning, about being moved by other people. Inspired, being moved. Sure, we're busy people and we have a lot of things to do, but here's what I've learned. People do things because others inspire them to move. I think of my brother-in-law. He's on this fitness journey, and I thought, ooh, one of those weirdos, right? But you know what? He's inspired me. And I hit the gym as often as I can. We can do that for the same way, that way, as we can for motivating people for missions. And you know, that's my prayer. Every time I walk into church, my prayer is that our family inspires you towards missions. Whether that's just giving a little more, whether that's spending more time praying for your missionaries that this church supports, whether it's praying for God to bring someone to you, you can be involved in missions in so many different ways. As I'm traveling around visiting these churches, my prayer is that my family inspires others to have a love for missions. Maybe because a simple common boy decided that he was going to be a follower of Christ and listen to the direction of God for his life, even if it meant to be uncomfortable. You know what? I'm just going to tell all tonight, right? I used to watch pennies come out of my account. That's how, and it still squeaks. But I left a full-time salaried position at my church. Church of 500 people. To be a little uncomfortable, to follow the direction of God. And I'm not somebody special. I've learned this as an associate pastor for 14 years. My job was to support the pastor. That was my job. And God gave me that understanding a few years ago. You know what? What are we? We're Christ followers, aren't we? Guess who's in charge? Not I. I am to be the best second man to Christ that I can possibly be. He's got it all figured out. I tell the Lord respectfully, Lord, you called me this. You're going to be faithful. I sing about it. I read about it in Scripture. This is your problem to figure out, not mine. Right? Where's the gas to get down the road? Doesn't matter to me. And I used to be the guy that watched every little penny. But I just wanted to make sure that people knew of the love of Christ in Central America. I wanted to follow what the Lord had for me. As we close, what are you doing to inspire, to encourage, to motivate people to follow the call of God on their life? Are you motivating people to find and follow Jesus? That's what a missionary is. That's what missions is all about. That's been the plan of God from the beginning. Plan A. I just want to take a moment. And I just want to do something probably that we don't normally do on a Wednesday or Sunday night. But just stay where you are. And I just want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. And I just want to take this moment. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and I don't know who's here, I've gotten the privilege to meet some of you and many of you. But I don't know who knows Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And if tonight you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you to trust His promises. Trust that He came to this earth to reconcile you to Him, to allow you to have a relationship with Him. Maybe this is a time of rededication, to get behind the mission of God. Maybe this moment is that you will see people from every tribe, nation, and tongue come to know Christ. Maybe you are that prayer warrior. Maybe you're the one standing behind the missionary in prayer. Maybe it's time for you to surrender to the mission field. as you pray, I want to pray with you now. And I would turn the service over to Pastor as soon as I'm done praying. Lord, I thank you for an opportunity to be able to open your word. Lord, and to be reminded that we as individuals have a responsibility to be the ones to carry your good news. Lord, your news of hope, your news of promise, of a successful life following you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here this evening that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, that they'll have the courage, Lord, to cry out to you tonight and to ask you to come into their lives and allow them to begin a new life of being able to follow you and trust in your promises and to lean into who you've created them to be. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that has kind of fallen behind on the mission of God, that you will inspire them, that you'll motivate them, Lord, to spend more time in prayer or to give a little more this year to missions. Lord, whatever that might be, whatever you're laying on their heart, Lord, I pray that you'll give them the follow through. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that's going to surrender to the mission field, Lord, that you'll continue to work in their lives. Allow them to see the path that you've created for them, Lord. Lord, and allow them to trust you, to step into the uncomfortable, to step into the unknown, and follow you in this way. Lord, I just thank you for Bible Baptist. And I thank you for an opportunity to be able to come here and open your word and spend time with these great folks. I pray that you'll continue to use this church in a mighty way in Slayton and the surrounding communities. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I want to ask you to go ahead and stand. And maybe the challenge that he's given this morning and this afternoon, maybe that has moved you, as we talked about, to action, to get involved with missions, or perhaps to increase your mission giving. Maybe even, again, to surrender yourself to the mission field. We're going to have just a few moments of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart, you come. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.
All to Jesus.